how's it going there again, gang? This is Chef Robert over here at the cooking store with Flavor of Riverside. Today, we're going to be making soups. And so what we're going to be looking at to start off when making soups is making our own stocks. And that's where this really starts with. So what I have in front of me is the very basics of making a stock or a broth. And let's just identify that for a second. The difference between a broth and a stock is broth is just going to be bones of chicken, of beef, of whatever, water, and then that's cooked for a certain amount of time, strain off the bones and the liquid's called a broth. A stock is going to have vegetables, wine, sometimes a protein, sometimes not, depending on what kind of stock you're making. So it has all kinds of things in it. It's a much more developed type of broth. The soups that we're going to be making today is we're going to make a black bean, bacon, and chicken soup, which is just phenomenal. Then we're going to be making a roasted tomato soup, no cream added, very, very healthy. And then we're going to make a king crab bisque. Okay, the first soup that we're going to do today is going to be our chicken, black bean, and bacon soup. Okay, first thing that we need is the bacon. So we're going to bring our bacon out here. I have a little other cutting board so I keep my board sanitary. And we're going to bring out the bacon. You can see I already cut up some of it. And then we're just going to go through this and just chop the bacon. This is a full pound of bacon. This is up to you if you want it to be a full pound or not. Or bacon is completely optional in this one as well. And we're just going to get this right into our pan. We want to immediately get this stirring. So now we're browning the bacon. We want to get that nice and brown. You can get rid of this stuff. And then next, we have our chicken. Okay, so we have the chicken. It's already been diced up. We have the black beans. We have the onions. Then we have cilantro and garlic, and we're going to get this all together. We also have some really nice spices. So I have some whole cumin seeds that I'm going to grind in there. I really like the flavor of cumin when it's freshly ground. Then we have some fajita seasoning here, which is basically like a taco seasoning that we sell here. It's a Steve Reichlin product that we sell. Then we have dried chipotles. You could use the canned chipotles, but I notice on the dried chipotles, we tend to get a little bit more smokiness, a little bit more flavor out of it, okay? And lastly, we have some sour cream to dollop on top. Now, we're going to also serve this with a quesadilla, which I just thought was awesome, thought it would go really well together. So now our bacon's nice and brown. And you can see here, I'm going to pull a little bit of it out, and we're going to save some of that for garnish is what we're going to do. And I want to set this on like some paper towel so it can drain. So it's not too greasy, okay? And that's just going to sit in a bowl and off to the side for later for our garnish. Once the bacon's brown, we can drain off a little bit of the fat. This doesn't have too much fat in it. Then we're going to add our chicken, okay? All the chicken goes in. And we're going to start sauteing that till it turns nice and white. So I'm going to add a little bit of this fajita seasoning, okay? I'm going to add the chipotles now, the dried chipotles. Then I'm going to add a bunch of this cumin. Ah, and I can smell it already. It's just coming off of here, permeating the entire store. I'm sure there's a few customers out there that their mouths are just watering as well. So we just sort of keep bringing this together. Now we don't want any of these spices to burn. Okay, we just want them to toast. Then from here, we add our onions. And we're gonna let those come together. Okay, and as those are going, what we're looking for is the onions to turn translucent, okay? Translucent, meaning almost like I can see through them, okay? Now, while those onions are going, the black beans. Now, these are canned black beans. And what's real important when using canned black beans is that, or any kind of canned bean, is that I get them fully rinsed off. So let's keep trucking here. Now we're going to add the garlic. Now that our onions have turned that opaque color, we're going to saute it a minute. Now remember, garlic burns really easily. So we added it in last. Then we add our beans. All the beans go in. Now what I like to do is I like to mash them a little bit. What better tool to use than your old potato masher? So we're going to get in here and we're just going to mash some of these beans together. So I'm going to get that out of there. Now we're going to start adding chicken stock. So depending on how thick I want this, I mean, I could almost make this into a chili at this point, some sort of chicken black bean chili. But we want it to be a soup. So this is an 8-ounce ladle. So 8 ounces or 1 cup. So I just added 3 cups. Here's 4 cups. So just kind of showing you guys the consistency of my soup. The next thing I want to do is taste it. Generally with soups, we don't want to season these soups until the very end because we don't know how much evaporation is going to go on or anything. I can even add more spices to this at this point if I want to. So I'm going to just come back here. I'm going to grab a spoon. I'm going to give this a taste. Really good. So we do need a little bit of salt. Not a lot. And I'm using kosher salt and fresh cracked pepper. Sea salt would be fine. I just advise everybody to stay away from iodized salt. So then, let's go ahead and get this plated up. So here I have a bowl, and anytime I do a soup bowl, I always put some sort of underliner underneath it, or what you might even call a charger, okay? So then we're going to get in here. We can shut this off at this point. We're going to get a nice big ladle of this soup, a little more broth, and then this is going to go down onto the plate. My sous chef, Dustin, made a quesadilla for us earlier, just tortilla, cheddar cheese, along those lines. I'm going to get out a knife, I'm going to give this a cut. That looks awesome. We can put this onto the plate. You could serve some guacamole with it if you wanted to. So then we want to kind of garnish this a minute. Grab another spoon. I like to hit this with like a dollop of sour cream right in the center. And then some cilantro leaves that have just been picked right off to the side of the sour cream. And then lastly, we can't forget the bacon. Okay. So we had this nice, beautiful, crunchy bacon that we're going to add. This is a really great soup for wintertime. We have the black bean chicken and bacon chowder. We have the quesadilla. It is ready to go. Your family's going to love it. Give this one a try. All right, you guys. Now we're going to do our king crab bisque. And when I say king crab, I mean king crab. Okay? Now, how I like to deal with the king crab is I take a good pair of kitchen shears, though. And I just don't even mess with it, and I cut it up the side, just like so, all the way up. And then if I'm serving this to guests in the shell, and I'm just doing a king crab dinner, maybe king crab and steak dinner, I will cut these like this, and then a lot of times I'll throw them on my barbecue or something to reheat them, which is really nice. But to really get it out of here is I'm going to go up both sides. And this way, I'm not like hurting myself. I don't have out any kind of cracker. And you guys can see here this beautiful piece of meat that we get out of this thing. And we want to get it all out, okay? We have a little bit here caught at the bottom and a little bit here. So we have our crab. What I like to do is I like to cut this also into pieces for garnishing, okay? Because these are going to be at the bottom of our soup. Now, I'm not going to put those in the fridge because we're not going to take very long, but keep that really cold. So for the bisque, what we're going to do is we're going to turn on another Dutch oven here, and we're going to start with some butter, right? I have a couple of pats of butter here, and we're going to get these going and melted, and I have a high flame on underneath there. Now, to make my bisque, here again, I need a mirepoix, so carrot, celery, onion. I have a little bit of garlic. Now, for my thickener in this, I have a combination of two things. I have potatoes, okay, which are here, and then I also have some cream. Now, the potatoes, what I'm using is I'm using a Yukon Gold potato. You can see they're kind of yellow in color, especially up against the very, very white bowl. Versus like an Idaho potato, okay? They already have a buttery look to them. This is the same potato that I make all my mashed potatoes out of and stuff. They have very low in starch and very high in flavor and color, okay? Then the next thing is manufacturer's cream. And what it does is it reduces quicker, and it whips faster for whipped creams. And it just tastes, it has more body to it, okay? So, let's get started. We're gonna get in here, and we're gonna add our mirepoix. Not quite our garlic yet, okay? We're gonna hold off on that. And I need a wooden spoon. We're gonna get in here, and we're gonna start stirring this till it starts to turn translucent in color, all right? Now the other thing that we have is some tomatoes. Okay, the tomatoes are gonna add some sweetness and also there again, some color. And then lastly, we have some wine. Most chefs will use a Sauvignon Blanc and it's because it's dry. For red wine, we like to use a Cabernet Sauvignon and that's also because it's dry. Now you can break all kinds of rules when it comes to wine and it comes to cooking. There's nothing set in stone, but these are the standard go-tos. All right, over here, our vegetables are looking good. We're gonna add the garlic. That goes in. Saute that a second. Then we're gonna add the tomatoes. Then lastly here, we're gonna add the potatoes, okay? All right, we're gonna get this all stirred together. And once we have that all stirred together, everything's opaque. Now we wanna add the wine, okay? So how much wine do I add? I mean, generally it's about a cup for something this size. I can go straight from the bottle, but what's not a bad idea, it's just to kind of remove yourself from the flame so the bottle is nowhere near the flame. Add the wine, then come back up on the flame. It's just, that's the safest way to do it. All right, the next thing that we're gonna add is some cream, all right? We're gonna get some cream in here, then we're gonna add the stock and we'll adjust it with the stock. So we're gonna add just enough cream to kind of turn this all white, all right? So that was about 2 cups of cream. You can see here, it's still pretty thick. All right, it's gonna come up to a boil here. Then we go in with our stock. Now, I'm gonna add about 4 cups of stock. So 1, 2, 3, and 4. All right, so give that a stir and I can always add more stock. We're gonna get the lid on this and we're gonna let that come up to a boil. All right, so now I'm gonna start kind of thinking about plating while this is coming up. And you can notice this has already started boiling, okay? So we're gonna pull the lid off and we're just gonna like leave it at high flame. Just let it boil rapidly. Remember, we're trying to cook those potatoes. We dice them up pretty small, kind of like a half inch or quarter inch dice. So they're gonna cook relatively quickly. The next thing we wanna do is we wanna blend this smooth, all right? So we need some sort of blender. If you guys haven't seen a Vitamix before, this is one. Vitamixes are just fantastic. Okay, the next thing that I need is I need a really fine mesh strainer. Okay, now you don't have to go all out. This is called a chinois. This is a French strainer. It's a double mesh strainer. It's almost as fine as a coffee filter. Okay, what you guys could do is the finest mesh strainer that you guys can find, and then line the thing with cheesecloth. That would be fine too. So we have that. We have a ladle. We're looking at our soup. We can kind of come over here and we can see where the potatoes are at. And they're still on the hard side. They're getting cooked in just a couple more minutes. And so we can start thinking about, like I said, plating. We're going to blend this soup, get it back into a pot, make sure it's good and hot. But remember, I have the crab here, okay? So I'm going to bring over a couple of plates with some really nice Le Creuset bowls on them. And what I like to do is I'll take the crab and I'll set the crab in the very bottom of the bowl. And where our plan is to put the soup right over the top of this. And this is a beautiful presentation. It's got a really nice surprise there at the bottom. And generally, we're not going to put in so much soup that it's going to completely cover the crab. But the soup will heat up the crab. The other thing that I could do is, obviously, this crab's cold. We could take the bowls and we could heat them up in the oven a little bit. And that would heat up the crab, warm the crab up as well. Okay? All right, so let's bring the soup over. Let's start pureeing. So we're going to pick this up and we're going to bring it over here right onto our counter. And then we're going to bring the pot over that we're going to put it into right there. And so in can go the strainer over here on this side, along with this ladle. The big ladle can come over here. And then to try not to be messy, we're going to come over and get nice and close to the soup. And we're going to gather this up. Now, as a general rule of thumb, try not to fill your blender cup more than halfway with hot liquids. We need to remove the middle piece of the lid of the blender. That way the steam has a place to escape. If not, it's going to escape somehow. We're going to turn this on and we're going to slowly come up. Notice I have a side towel over the top of the hole so the soup doesn't burn me. All right, we're just going to let puree for a sec. Now we can season. So a little salt and a little pepper. That's another kind of good rule of thumb, you guys, is half as much pepper as salt, okay? So one part pepper to two parts salt, in other words, all right? Let this puree a little bit. Now we're going to bring it back down. We're going to shut it off. Lift this up, and we're going to come over here to our strainer, and we're going to strain. Look at the color. Color is beautiful. And our pan is a little bit hot. But we can keep reducing at this point as well. Okay? And then we just push this through, right through the strainer. It gets it really nice and smooth. Okay? So let that hang on there a second. Let's do another batch. Now we have our soup, and here again, at this point, I can test it once again for salt and pepper, okay? I'll get rid of this as well. We'll just set this up and over. And so I'm going to grab a spoon. I'm going to taste the soup. This is one of my favorites, so I've really been looking forward to this. Oh my goodness. That is just wonderful. So then I have a date coming over or something like that. And I'm going to bring this stuff out. I'm going to ladle out some soup. right on top of the crab. Just like so. Remember, I want some of it to still show so you can see. You're like, hey, what's that surprise in there? Try not to make too much of a mess. Right over the crab. Just like that. Then, to garnish, I have a little bit of creme fraiche here. Creme fraiche is kind of like the equivalent of like French sour cream. We could do a couple of things. We could go back and forth and in this direction, however you want. Or we can spiral. Like so. And then you can draw lines through it and stuff like that. We have a little bit of dill. Okay. Dill is always pretty and nice. We can set some of that right on top. And then lastly, we have just some nice toast points. Okay. And we can take some toast points here and set these off to the side. And that is going to be our king crab bisque with garnished with creme fraiche and king crab and some dill. Try this one at home too. All right, gang. Now we're going to be making the fiery roasted tomato soup. So I have the tomatoes in front of me. So we cut them in half. We cut them kind of like right through the stem. And then we set them up like this. And we have them on what's called a silt pat or a silicone mat here. And that way they don't stick and it's not going to mess up the sheet pan itself. It's really easy cleaning. These are non-disposable, so I can use these over and over and over again. All right, so we're going to get these into the oven basically between 450 and 500. If you have a convection oven, which means you have a fan in the back of it that blows, turn that sucker on too. I really want to get you guys to the point of not being afraid of that convection fan and just kind of getting used to it. This is one of those times that you have a lot of room for error. Remember, we're just trying to roast these tomatoes so you can play with your convection fan at home. So we get these in. Now, I've already done some. So I'm going to pull these out. And this is what the tomatoes are going to look like. Okay. You can see they've done some caramelization, and then the skins want to just come right off of them, all right? Now, we want to separate about half the skins off of these, and we just kind of go through them. The ones that come off easier are going to be the ones that you grab. We're going to leave some of this charredness in the soup itself. So we'll set those aside. Then we're going to want to start with our Dutch oven. We're going to want to get a nice high flame on and start in here with some olive oil. So I have some olive oil back here. Going to go in. And essentially, I'm going to use chicken stock today because that's what we have. But you guys can make this 100% vegetarian. All right? Basically, you can buy vegetable stock at the grocery store, or you can just make some yourself, just like how we explained earlier. All right, so we're going to start in here with a mirepoix, carrot, celery, onion, and then we have some leek in here. This is a leek. Leeks are in the onion family, almost looks like an oversized green onion. The best way to clean these, because they grow in mud, best way to clean them is to take a knife, leaves the tops on, and just pull it down the center. Then go over to your sink, fill the sink up, and kind of plunge this into the sink. And you'll get any sand out of here that will gather up. And you can see a little bit in there already, okay? A little bit of dirt. All right, and then how much of this do I use? This is the part we use. This is perfect material for stock, okay? It's not carrot, celery, or onion, but it's other vegetable product that is perfect for stock. Okay, so we save this. All right, so we're going to take all of this and we're going to come over here to our pot and get this all going. From here, we want to get some sort of wooden spoon so we can start moving this stuff around, sauteing it. Once again, we want everything to kind of turn that opaque color. okay, or translucent. Then next we have our tomatoes, all right, and the majority of them here, almost in a lot of ways for this soup, the more the merrier, all right, on the tomatoes itself, because the tomatoes are also going to provide liquid as well. This was a total of like 14 tomatoes, all right, so we could do even more. All right, let this saute a little bit more. All right, good. Now we add all the tomatoes. Get every little bit in there. Then we're gonna add some wine, okay? Once again, a Sauvignon Blanc. And once again, get in that habit of removing this pot from the flame. I know these Dutch ovens are heavy, but pull it away from the flame, add about a cup of liquid, and then get back on the burner. That way you guys never get caught in that predicament with other alcohols. All right, so we can start kind of stirring this together. We're going to let that wine cook down. And then I'm going to make a little grilled cheese sandwich to go along with this. And for this grilled cheese sandwich, what I'd like to use is pumpernickel. Pumpernickel is a beautiful, kind of whole wheat bread, very dark in color. I even sometimes like to use like a sourdough and a pumpernickel of the same thickness, and you get both consistencies, both flavors. Really, really good. Then I have some brie. Gonna cut some brie here. And a lot of people try to avoid the rind on brie. Shame, shame, shame. The rind is meant to be eaten on brie. So we're just gonna get this kind of loaded up. Then I have some basil here. A couple little pieces of basil. Then maybe another slice of brie, because gotta love brie. Then I'm going to top it here, and this bread has already been slightly toasted. My sous chef, Dustin, he buttered it and toasted it, and so we're just going to pop this into the oven for a minute in this little oven-safe dish. Anything would work. Just make sure it will go in the oven, and just melt this up. Okay, so now I'm going to start looking at our soup again. We're back over here, and yeah, that's looking good. It's about halfway reduced. So now I can start adding my chicken or vegetable stock. And so I got 1, 2, 3, maybe 1 more, 4. So we got that in, and we're gonna bring that up to a boil now. Okay, then we have the herbs, and you guys have probably also heard me say this before. Anytime using fresh herbs, this is a whole bunch of basil. We're not going to quite use all of this. Anytime using fresh herbs, we want to always add the fresh herbs at the very, very end. Okay, if we were using dried herbs, we'd add them in the beginning. So this is basil that I've just sort of picked here, and it depends on to you, how much we're going to add. But I don't even necessarily have to chop this up. I'm going to kind of tear it and throw it into the soup. Now, the other thing that's essential for really getting into soup making is going to be an immersion blender. That's what this is called, is an immersion blender, meaning it immerses or submerges, okay? And so this is a blender without the cup. So now we're up to a boil. I'm going to take a look here. And that's looking beautiful. Now remember, this is a pureed soup. So this pureed soup, it's going to get its thickness, it's going to get its body surely through pureeing. Now, if we didn't have an immersion blender, could we put it all into a blender cup blender? Of course we could. And so now we want to go ahead and we want to bring this over. We could keep on boiling this as we move along. We could boil this and we could puree it all at the same time and keep reducing if we wanted to. But I'm going to get it off the burner and over here close. We're going to add the basil to it. And then we're going to get the immersion blender into here. And we're going to start pureeing. You can see it all come together. And it smells beautiful. Where we're at now is I want to add some salt and pepper. So there's some pepper. Here's some salt. And we just keep pureeing until we feel satisfied it's pureed enough. All right, I think it's plenty pureed enough. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to get this sucker plated up. Smells beautiful. So we're going to bring over our plate and our soup bowl. We're going to take this fiery roasted tomato basil soup. Get this into here. Maybe a touch more. Remember, this is very hearty, very fresh. It's going to be nice and light. We're going to move this back over. We're going to get that grilled cheese sandwich that I made over here. We have a very light melt on it. Bring this over. Looks gorgeous. Okay, so we could get this just slightly submerged into the soup and let that sit on the side there. Then we could take some basil, bring a little bit of that into the center, just kind of tear that a little bit, a couple little tears. Beautiful. Set that aside. We'll clean ourselves up. This is our fiery roasted tomato soup with a little pumpernickel and brie grilled cheese sandwich. Just phenomenal. Give this one a try at home. Thanks a lot. All right, you guys. Hey, thanks for joining me this wintertime for all these great soups that we did today. Just to run back through them, you know, we have the roasted tomato soup, we have the king crab bisque, the black bean chicken and bacon chowder. They're just all wonderful. Your family's going to love them. Your friends are going to love them. I think you're going to love them. And enjoy making them, too. Have fun. Use up that stuff inside your refrigerator. Use up all those scraps. And this is Chef Robert from The Cooking Store with Flavor of Riverside, saying thank you and good cooking.
The Cooking Store.
What is The Cooking Store?
The tools you need. The classes you want. The advice you can trust.
The Cooking Store.
The Cooking Store. Everything you need for better food. Find us in the Mission Grove Shopping Center or visit us at thecookingstore.com.